You seek the key, but first you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is their most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today. Okay, let's do some quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. That's obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. To reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. Here's the thing. Information is power. Information is money. Literally, the currency of today's world of entrepreneurship is information. And if you could bring all of the information about your business into one dashboard, this is incredibly valuable. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of the truth about your business. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, access from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all of your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. This is so valuable. You just hit a button and you can see all the information about your business instead of having to like call five different departments and get all these emails and put it all together and make sense of it. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/James. netsuite.com/James. netsuite.com/James.
Don't let the mysteries of life scare you away. Instead, ask Altucher. Here's James Altucher.
So, Claudia, everybody is always curious. I say, or you say, go on YouTube, start making videos right now, see what opportunities come. And they're like, well, how do you make money doing that? Or how do you make money going on Instagram? So we found a couple,
yep.
Mimi Icon and Alex Icon, who make over seven figures a year doing YouTube videos and Instagram and so on. We have them on the phone.
Hello, Mimi and Alex.
Hello.
Hi, guys.
And Mimi's on my mastermind of women as well, which is really nice.
You know, I did not know that.
Yep, she is. And they're a couple doing it together. And that's what I love about them.
So Mimi, I know you have like 700,000 Instagram followers. How many YouTube followers do you have between the two of you?
We'll start with Mimi.
There's a few channels, so it's a bit hard to count it all. But I think we never really focus on numbers. But if we're going to talk about numbers, we have a hair channel, which is Luxy Hair. I think it's over 2.3 million
wow.
subscribers. But we've been doing it for over 5 years consistently.
And that's the biggest channel. That's over a quarter of a billion views worldwide. And that's kind of the business that I would say brings in the money, sort of say. And then there's other channels and, of course, new projects. So there's Mimi has a new channel that she's been working on and that.
Which is Mimi Icon. And I do more lifestyle fashion videos, vlogging videos when we travel. It's more personal and intimate.
Yeah, and that's probably...
It's got now, I think, about two, I don't know, see, that's the thing, like, I never focus on the numbers, but I know it's over 250k subscribers.
But in general, probably over 2.5 million. My channel is over 50,000, but it's more of a, I call my channel just my therapy. That's what I do every day, like, every week, just to release and help other people. But all in all, like Mimi is saying, it really... It's funny that we're talking about numbers, but in reality, we never really talk about numbers.
Well, that's interesting because that may be – I think when people are focused too much on the numbers instead of the value they provide, it decreases from the value.
Absolutely.
So tell us, how did you, before we get into more of the numbers, because we are going to dive more into the numbers, tell us how you got started doing YouTube videos. I mean, a quarter, you know, over 2.5 million viewers and a quarter of a billion views on a video channel about hair. Obviously, I have never used your advice, but tell us how you got started.
It actually started very organically, and I was looking for hair extensions for our big day, which was also 5 years ago.
So the wedding?
Yeah, when we were getting married, and I thought, okay, finally I'm going to go splurge and get myself some hair extensions to look glamorous.
And we were broke back then, so there was no money. So I don't know what he was going to splurge on, but whatever. Yeah.
Hey, I didn't spend that much. So I bought a set of hair extensions. I came home, I clipped it in, and I was just in the room with Alex and my sister, Layla. And I clipped in the hair extensions, and it looked horrific. It looked really bad, unnatural. And I just looked at them, and I said, guys, like, this really sucks. I wasted all this money. I can't return this product. And my sister was just saying, yeah, this does suck. Alex just looked at us and said, what's hair extensions? I've never heard about this product. Tell me more. At the time, he was also reading for our work week. Both of us were reading for our work week. So he was in the mindset of, you know, looking for the muse.
I think, like so many people, you know, you read the 4-hour work, you see the cover, the guy's on the beach, and you're like, work 4 hours a week. That sounds awesome. Mm-hmm. And it's the whole, I guess, era of lifestyle business when it was just starting. This is in 2010. Mm-hmm. And we're just very excited. I guess that book really opened up our mind to, hey, this is actually possible. There's this new technologies that exist that allow people like us who are just, you know, early 20s back then, just with dreams and wanting to live a life and travel the world and discover places. So I was just there kind of just thinking, unemployed, and just thinking, okay, how can I live this lifestyle? And and I think like so many people, you want to have a business, you want to have the lifestyle, but so many people have the missing link of what's the actual business and what's the actual idea? How am I actually going to realize this? Because it's not just about the secret and just making things happen, but it's actually about action and making things a reality. So that's when the spark really came. I'm like, wow, this seems interesting. And then Mimi kind of, I said, so tell me more about hair extensions. And then she showed me.
Yeah, I just opened the laptop and started showing him all these videos. What's that?
It's on your wedding.
No, this was right before the wedding. This was like a month before the wedding.
Okay.
Yeah, so I started showing Alex all these YouTube videos, and at the time in the UK, hair extensions were actually quite big, but not in US and Canada, which became our main market. And I showed him some videos on YouTube of before and afters of, you know, girls wearing hair extensions, and it's always so dramatic because, you know, somebody going from short and more fine hair to long, voluminous, thick hair is just very emotional and dramatic and exciting.
So the girls get like really excited and they scream and they twirl around you and you get all this emotion. And I'm like,
because it does feel different when you have that much hair.
Yeah. So for me, as a guy who knew nothing about hair extensions, I just thought, wow, you just feel like you're actually changing their emotions and their life, really. So it was just really exciting. It's like, I think any product that gets emotions out of people and gets them to feel better is just, people want it. So, and even though it was like,
Alex, I want to interrupt for a second. I think that's a really important takeaway. Anything that you see is going to really inspire the emotions of people to change, that mm-hmm. there is some product out there to search around, to figure out. And that's what you guys did.
Exactly. But it really did start with like a frustration, a problem.
Yeah, my own problem.
Yeah, and that was, I guess, why we worked as a team as well, is that, you know, for some people, we get frustrated on a daily basis, a lot of us, right? But it's for, and so many people are like, okay, I want a business idea. And what we always tell people, and it was what happened with us, and even all the other business products that we created after, including the 5-Minute Journal, which is one of them, they all came from
our own struggles,
our own problems. Because if you can solve a problem for yourself or others, that's a business. And one of my good friends said, how do you make $1 billion? Well, you create $1 billion worth of value for other people.
Right.
And that's how you do it. So that's how we just think of business, really.
Yeah, so at that time when Alex saw all those videos, he said, well, we should definitely do this business. And we looked at him like he's crazy.
No, because we didn't have any money. Like I said, we're really just, I just graduated from university, which was a whole complete waste of money and time. And I totally agree with you, James, on choose yourself era and how, you know, if I invested differently my time and money. But it was a complete waste to go to university, in my opinion. And then
I'm a college dropout.
Mimi's a college dropout. She's smarter than me. But I guess what really happened.
Girls are always smarter than guys, so don't worry about that.
Exactly. But what happened was we said, okay, we'll have some money, so we have like some line of credits, and I know my mom has a line of credit, and I know, and we just got a check from, you know, and those checks you get from your Visa that say like, okay, you can take out this money, and if you have no interest for 6 months, and after 6 months you have like this crazy interest rate.
Yeah.
Well, he said, okay, 0% interest for 6 months. I'm like, okay, we have 6 months to make money, and we have this idea.
Very natural way to think.
Yeah.
Let's just take money from mom and Visa.
Exactly, go for it. And we just thought, also, but how can we make this money go further? And back then I was a failed social media consultant, I can say. I was just starting out. This is 2009, 2010. So nobody would buy my services for social media consulting, meaning, you know, back then I was saying, oh, social media consultants are like snake oil salesmen. Nobody trusted them. Well, I was one of those guys, kind of, I guess to say, but the reality was, it was so new. Not many businesses really created these strategies yet. And that's what I wanted to do for other businesses. But they, like, get out of here. Facebook or YouTube are never going to be...
Yeah, those things don't work.
They don't work. And show me a return on investment. And you know what? To be honest, I couldn't because I didn't have enough experience yet. So I said, well, we're going to do it ourselves. We're going to put all the stuff that I learned from, you know, Gary Vaynerchuk back then, who was a huge inspiration as well with his book Crush It and how he did Wine Library. Or let's say Seth Godin, his idea of being a linchpin and all that stuff. So we kind of put all those ideas and inspirations and we put it into a channel, which was Luxy Hair. And that's where Mimi and her sister Layla created hair tutorials every week to help other people to create hairstyles. And when we started a YouTube channel, we didn't yet have a business or a product.
Mm-hmm.
I just told Mimi and Layla, start making videos, build an audience, and I'll be working on the product and creating the product and the business.
So Alex, and Mimi, you uh-huh. already saw that there were many YouTube videos or YouTube channels doing this. Why did you think you could compete?
Well, we didn't. We thought we'll just, you know, we'll get 1,000 subscribers maybe, and we'll have our little community. And that's really what we aimed for. We didn't aim for millions of views or millions of subscribers. We just said, you know what, we got to give it a shot because all of us at the time, me, my sister, and Alex were unemployed. we all had our own little businesses, but we weren't really that successful, to be honest. And the three of us knew that we wanted to have our own thing. We wanted to be, you know, in control, have our own business or some kind of projects that we're working on, that we're passionate about. So this opportunity came through and we just thought, let's go for it, because we were desperate and we were also into the product because I genuinely wanted to have these kind of hair extensions. And we didn't talk to anyone, you know, meaning our friends or family. We just said, you know, we're going to go for it. And we don't really care what other people think because we really need to start, you know, we really need to start working at something that works for us.
Yeah.
Because it was either start your own business and succeed at it or go back to 9-to-5 jobs. And that was like a death sentence.
Yeah. We used to work like a retail bank. That's how Mimi and I met. And we knew we can always go back to that, you know, some sort of a job like that, like a safe 9-to-5 job. But for us at that moment, like I said, we were so, it was so against it. Like our values, our vision of who we are as people, we saw ourselves, especially after reading the 4-hour work week of traveling the world and discovering places and living the life to our terms. And also
doing things that are meaningful to us.
Right.
Yeah, I think, go ahead.
So you started the YouTube channel. How quickly mm-hmm. did you how many videos did it take before you realized, hey, there's a real audience here, a real community here that's starting to develop around this?
We were very fortunate because I think that it grew pretty fast compared to many other channels that are out there. I remember that within a few months, we already hit, I would say, 25,000 subscribers.
I'll slow it down. I think at the beginning, it wasn't really that fast. So we started, I think, the channel in April.
In April,
July, when we launched the actual business, and I actually finally sourced the product, and we got everything ready, and we sent a $20,000 wire to China by never talking to the person, or we just chatted over Skype or MSN Messenger back then, and just sent this money to somewhere we didn't know. And at that point, we probably had, it wasn't 1,000 subscribers even, it was maybe 250.
Well, yeah, because it grew exponentially. You know, it was like, first it was like 100 subscribers. Well, first it was zero, right? We have to remember.
Everyone starts with zero.
We had zero subscribers when I posted my first video that was filmed on a laptop. My first maybe 5 seconds.
What did you do the first video about?
It was a review of a product, which was a hair straightener that was extremely popular at the time. It was very expensive, but very good quality product. Would you say
that you were kind of newsjacking at the time, in the sense that you knew it was a popular product?
A little bit. I wasn't doing it consciously, to be honest, James. But now looking back, I think I just, you know, naturally, I just kind of feel with my gut the things that are in. And also, I'm into it as well. So before I bought the straightener, I did a lot of, research and looked at a lot of videos. So I wanted to share my, 5 cents about what I think about this product. And the video did grow and get a lot of views. But then, we consistently started making other content, like, showing women how to do braids and waves and all kinds of hairstyles. And yeah, at first we were just filming it on a laptop.
Was there ever a tipping point video where suddenly you had this kind of like humongous leap? So you probably had a trend line. Okay, we're gradually going up. Was there any one video where bam, kind of like Michelle Phan when she did the Lady Gaga makeup video, it was bam for her?
There was a few. There wasn't one. There was a few. Like, there was this Alexander Wang, which is a fashion designer. He did this beautiful side braid on his runway. So that one got a few million in the first year.
Did it?
Yeah, it did. Then I did a 6th trend braid, which I never in a million years thought would be big. It got like over 11 million views.
Wait, what's a 6th trend braid?
6th trend braid, yeah.
6th trend braid?
It's like really complicated braid made out of 6 strands of hair.
Should Claudia do that? Would Claudia look good with that?
Of course she would. Claudia has beautiful hair.
I'm going to check it out.
Claudia has great hair.
I'll have to do it now.
You two look alike a little bit, actually.
I think so, too.
But even then, I'll be honest, I think we talked about this too, mm-hmm. but in reality, I'll say there was never a viral moment. We really grew.
It was many little moments.
It was many little moments, and they grew over time. Like I said, I think it's just the reason we want to point that out, because so many people, when we look at the examples, let's say of Michelle Phan or even us, people so many think, oh yeah, you guys just, overnight you grew it, but it really took time and dedication.
Yeah, we're not an overnight.
And most importantly, consistency of creating content, putting out value to other people time and time and time. And most importantly, even though we have a business, we never focused on selling the product.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that I think is very important that we realized from the beginning, is because we didn't want to sell. Like, when we come from a banking world where it's a direct selling world, where my manager would come to me and be like, Alex, here's a list and go sell to these people. This credit card offer is going to ruin people's lives.
Right, sell them.
Awful, right?
Whatever, potentially. Or they can start businesses and end up like us.
Yeah. So let me ask you, did you actually cover that credit card and return the money to mom?
Yes. We covered it within 6 months. We paid off that balance, because what actually ended up happening was we it's good to be naive sometimes and stupid, because what happened with us, we actually we want to do this whole 4-hour working thing. So we said, in September we're going to go to south of France and we're going to have our first mini vacation. This is before
workation.
I love it. And so we booked the trip to Nice
before we made any money.
And you know what? That month we made a lot of money. So, and this is our second or third month in business. So
how many videos had you done at this point?
It was a week, video week.
I'd say maybe, probably around 20, 20 plus. Yeah, okay. Not more than that.
But of course, there's more than videos. I'll say at that time, there was also a lot of, you know, hustle. Because I'll say those, you know, people also who, say, read those books and think, oh, okay, I'll just do this and create it. There was a, like, we would probably work 80 to 100-hour work weeks up until, let's say, September when we went on that little
vacation. What were you doing?
No, we're doing, like, we would go on, like, forums, and we would...
we would help people with questions about hair and, you know, all everything that was related to hair, we were there helping people and also spreading the message about our new product.
Yeah, spamming our friends.
Facebook.
And we're also, well, I think the thing that helped the most back then was, say, equivalent of, let's say, I think going to Yahoo Answers, looking for people who are asking hair-related questions, and then we would answer them, so all of us, and just help them out. Or
so it was kind of like a hub-and-spoke model, like the center of your wheel were the YouTube videos, but then you had spokes and all these other outlets where you would direct people back to the center, which was your YouTube videos.
Definitely. And interacting with the first, of course, people who subscribe, who comment, and interact with them, really nurture that community, because those first people are your, you know, first, you know, 100 fans or whatever, or first fan, you have to really dedicate and be.
And to this day, I spend a lot of time going through comments and, you know, talking to people and developing relationships with my audience, because, you know, we're able to do what we are today because of our audience and their support.
Now, when did your business hit the seven-figure mark?
Wait. Before then, you mentioned after a few months, you sent that first $20,000 wire to China. What was that all about? What were you selling? What were you buying? How did that start?
What do you mean? Like, how did we find a supplier, or how did that happen?
No.
Or?
What happened where money started to enter the picture?
Oh, like actually, we started making money, or
well. You mentioned at some point you sent a wire to China
for $20,000.
That was to buy the hair. Yeah, that was to buy the product. So, because the only money we spent in our business was really like I made the website myself with a WordPress theme, I think, and a PayPal button. It was really basic.
We took
all the pictures ourselves. I think we didn't have so much money. So it was, I remember this time we bought the photo equipment. Let's say the studio set, a little thing, lights and whatever from a Henry's store in Canada, like a B&H photo kind of thing. And then we bought it, we did the shoot, and we had to return it the next day because we honestly didn't have, well, you got to save money. And in fact, we didn't even get married. We got married that year in Dominican, which we did, but we never got our marriage certificate because it was like $300 to $500. And we said, okay, screw getting a marriage certificate. We need this money.
We don't
money.
Care about the paper.
We don't care about this paper. We need money more for our business. Right. So we invested all the money into the product and kind of just buying the inventory itself. Mm-hmm. And then most other things, we did it ourselves. So like I said, I did the website. Mimi did the videos.
Yeah.
We did the customer service. We really, it wasn't, at the beginning, it wasn't a 4-hour work week at all. It was an 80 to 100-hour work week.
That's very typical, actually. Like even the 4-hour work week, he started off working 80 hours a week, and then you kind of figure out how to delegate it down and so on. But how did you when you started, you mentioned you wired $20,000 to China for products. I don't understand. What were you selling? When did you start selling? How did you formulate a business model? Like, what happened next?
Yeah, well, okay, actually, this is a very interesting question, and it's important. Because what happened, the reason business ideas struck, we got, I guess, popular in business as well, because we don't have too much business experience either. Our business experience is, we used to work at a bank. Like, I would have some entrepreneurial ventures as a kid, but nothing really. I used to sell flowers on the street and things like that.
You used to sell cars to you.
I used to sell cars and to Russia and all sorts of things, but I think what it really came down to, when Mimi told me about the product, and she told me, you know, I bought this product in a mall, it cost me this much, and it's crap. The ones that I want that are really good, they cost between $300 to $500, sometimes even more, for this clip-in hair extension, which is like, they clip into your hair, it's like this additional hair you have. James, I don't get it either, but it works.
I said, okay.
I'm like, okay, this product costs $300 to $500 in a store. Then at that time, I was also doing a little gig for one of my friends, where I learned a bit about like Alibaba and China and stuff like that. And I said, okay, let me look on Alibaba, how much this product actually costs. And I started looking, I'm like, wait, like they're having a huge margin on this product. What if we actually undercut these kind of middlemen, these stores, and just sell it at pretty much wholesale prices to the consumer directly from online?
Okay,
so kind of like what you see Everlane doing now.
Alex, I'm sorry. I'm a really bad interrupter. I really apologize. But I just want to understand every step of the way. So
of course, you saw
a popular product that was being sold for X, but when you looked at Alibaba and you added in shipping, you saw that you can actually sell the same product for significantly cheaper. Like how much cheaper?
Oh, well, what were you thinking? I'm like, the margin was, let's say, the product at that time, because it increased the supply and demand, so the product cost increased a lot. So at that time, let's say it cost $300 to $500 wholesale. The salon would probably purchase for about $120 to $100. They're purchasing from China for around $50 to $65 back then, let's say. So I'm like, we don't need so much margin. What if we just do, say, 50% margin, meaning we would buy the product for $50, sell it for $100, just to simplify things, right? And that's what we did. And then, so I said, that's enough margin for us. Because our goal at the beginning was just to make $1,500 a month.
Each.
Like, if I make $1,500,
Let me ask the question again. I'm sorry. I'm just step by step. So then on the YouTube video, would you say, Mimi, like, oh, at the mall, I bought this for $500, but you could just buy it. Why pay that? You could just buy it straight from me for $100 and save $400.
No, I never did something
we
so
never,
direct.
Yeah, we never.
Okay,
the
so how did selling happen?
Yeah, the way we market our product.
Tuesday.
Yeah, it's very natural and organic. I actually can't sell anything unless I actually love it. So I would make hair tutorials, and I still do, using the hair products. And the only time I will mention the product is just in the beginning of the hair tutorial, where I will say, I'm wearing Luxie Hair Extensions. I don't talk about the product being my own business. I don't tell people to buy it. I don't say anything else. I just say, I'm wearing Luxie Hair Extensions in, you know, dirty blonde, chocolate brown, whatever color I may be at the time. And then I go into a hair tutorial to show women how to do a certain hairstyle. And if they choose to buy the product because they want to have that kind of hair, that's completely their choice. So
whenever they buy from YouTube, from a link within YouTube?
Mm-hmm. Yes, so the link will be under the video in the information box. But again, that's not something I tell them. I don't tell them, go in the info box, I'm going to link it there. It's very organic, it's very natural, and it's very intentional because I can't do it any otherwise. Like, I can't sell. It's
got to
be very organic, otherwise I don't feel right about it.
So
it's worked for us, as you can see.
Yeah.
I totally agree with that approach. I think if you did a hard sell, it's too like infomercial 90s style.
Exactly.
Yeah, because we have a whole thing like, you know, QVC and the way they sell, like QVC is the biggest shopping network and they have the whole thing like, you know, make two easy payments and buy it in the next 15 minutes and like do this. And like, it just makes me want to puke. So we want to do everything opposite of all the like information marketing or product selling.
Yeah, we believe that if you provide enough value and you make the product available to people,
and the product is good,
and the product is actually great, then people will know how to buy it and how to find it.
Well, what a great equation! So value plus availability equals the business.
Yes.
Yeah. So in terms of the numbers. Again, in the first year, we wanted to make humbly 3,000 between the two of us.
Because we thought that would be together. Because before that, we lived off like employment insurance. So in Canada, when you're unemployed, they give you like, I think, $1,200 a month to survive on. And we were like, you know what? We got by on that. Like, we lived at home with parents. And like, we can do this. Pull this off.
So when, at what point in the cycle, you started doing, you did your first video in April of, I guess, 2010. And at what point did the first order start coming in at luxiehair.com?
The first order came in before we actually launched the website. It was a friend of mine from a previous work who heard about us starting the business, and she used to wear hair extensions like daily. And she said, I'm going to come and get it. Just tell me, you know, the price. I'm going to come pick it up. So the day, maybe it was the day before we actually launched, she came in, looked at the product,
and approved it,
which was very important to me because she's had way more experience than I did at the time. And she bought it, and that was the first sale.
But the crazy thing is, James and Claudia, we just got the shipment in to, we'll say, our house that day. We didn't even see the product. We didn't even open the box. When she came in, we opened the box, and I'm like, oh my God, I don't know if there's going to be like just plastic in there and I just wasted $20,000 or if there's going to be actual product. And it happened to be, it was the first manufacturer we contacted out of hundreds, but it was the first one. It was a great supply. It was a great product. And it was, because we met at Mastermind Talk. We were talking at Mastermind Talks. You know, that drug dealer that was there? It's very similar, like supply and demand, good product. It's all basic. So the business is very similar now.
So you had women who were paying $500 in the mall across the street, and you found your manufacturer, I guess, through Alibaba or whatever, and you were buying for $50. Your friend came over and bought the first product for like $100.
Yeah,
it was like $140.
Yeah,
bought a thicker set. So.
Yeah, because we have two sets. We have like
we have a few more options.
Yeah, but at the beginning we had two sets, so we had a kind of smaller set and a bigger set. So it's like, yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
so
let's hear more.
So then, meanwhile, in parallel, you're building up your social media channels, YouTube and Instagram, where you can show off the product without selling it.
Exactly. Since we didn't have any money to put into marketing, we said we're going to do everything. So all the videos, all the marketing for the first 3 years, if not more, was organic. It was just YouTube videos, Facebook.
Yeah, we never bought any views advertisements or Facebook, anything. Pure organic. So it was just really putting in kind of the work, and over time, we have a little formula to kind of how it all started, what it took us to succeed, but we can get into that. But
what's the formula? We want to know.
So, because what happened was, like you said, we built a 7-figure business with YouTube. Like,
within the first year.
The first year. So we did 7 figures right before the first year we did. And that, it was shocking to us
and
as well.
And it was actually profit, right?
The first one was revenue. The years after, it became actually 7-figure profits, so the second year on. And then, so what the formula, and this is why we want to talk about it. And the only reason we say the numbers even now, say to share with you, because we're really actually private about it, is because we want people to understand that this is the real deal. And what we mean is, it's not about all this stuff that you learn in a lot of times in business school, or people tell you, or traditional ways of selling even. Like, because to us as people, it never, like, I don't know, we came from selling background in banks, and like we said before, it made us puke anytime anybody wanted to sell us something, or we had to sell something to people. So we wanted to be genuine about selling. So the formula that we call it, because what happened 2 years after the business, 2 or 3 years down the business, I'm like, wow, okay, we have something special going on. But what makes us, like you asked at the beginning, what made us different from, say, all other people who are on YouTube and they're trying to start a channel and they're trying to grow and they're trying to make money and they're trying to become popular and whatever. So what made us different? How come we succeeded while other people didn't? Or also, what are other people on YouTube, as you've mentioned, let's say Michelle Phan or other people, what are they doing that allowed them to be successful? So I really looked at them, everybody, including ourselves, and I broke it down to 4 letters. So I call it QVCA, because QVC is like the big shopping network, right?
Yep.
And I said, okay, so QVCA is the new way of selling. It's not the old QVC way of selling. So
the
what
icon
QVC
way.
Huh?
The icon way.
Well, you can call it whatever way, but it's really, this is the way people want to buy today. They don't want to buy. Yeah, people still buy from QVC. They're still laggards, you know, people who, it's a $1 billion company. I'm not going to knock them. They're making money. But I think more towards the future, more and more businesses will have to adjust and sell them more genuine. So let me just, I'll quickly break it down. I'll go quickly through it. And James and Claudia, you can ask us questions.
Yeah,
as
you
we
can
go.
Interrupt that
so,
if
so what we first noticed is that, okay, QVCA, Q. So Q stands for quality. And what we noticed is with videos, we're one of the first channels that actually started making videos with DSLR cameras. Meaning back then we first started with just kind of like a laptop notebook. But then we quickly realized that
Everyone else was doing that, and we need to differentiate ourselves.
Yeah, so I said, okay, why don't we get this new DSLR camera? So it's just coming out, and to increase our quality, to have a better quality. Mm-hmm. So we were one of the first channels to kind of have a better-looking video quality. Now everybody has it. So, but with quality, the reason I mention it, quality of the overall videos are important, meaning, you know, the sound matters, the quality of the video matters. So the overall image of the video matters, meaning even from the background. So how does your room look like?
Mm-hmm.
What's the bed in the background? Or what's the thing?
I noticed that in the videos, actually. It seems
stylish.
Like there's thought put into the room in the background, like what's on the bed, how it's made, what the color is, and so on.
Yeah, but that's actually our room. That's how it is. We're pretty neat. But
it's important because all of that is the image that you're portraying to the world,
yeah.
And that's why it's important.
And that's why the overall quality is important. Of course, the quality of the information you provide. But what I want to mention now, what we've learned also throughout the years, a lot of people, though, they stop themselves and they think, oh, you know what? Yeah, but in order to produce great quality, you need to spend a lot of money. Meaning you need to have these crazy expensive cameras and these lenses. And a lot of people get lost in the technicalities of quality and creating video. What we're learning now, especially even to this day more and more, is that actually quality, it's important not to have quality that is too high. You don't want things to be overproduced. You don't want things that are like white background, super professional, everything scripted, three camera angles.
Yeah.
All that is too
much.
That's
television. That's not YouTube.
That's too much, and that's not YouTube, and people don't connect with it. So we realized also you want your quality to be good, but you also don't want it to be too good.
Right.
You want it to still be realistic, and so that you're able to connect with people through the screen. Because YouTube is what makes it so great is that it's the perfect medium where you're able to really transfer, once again, emotion, and where people can really connect with you as a person. But if it's in real life, you never have things looking perfect, and you never have things going from one angle to another. And but sounds pretty good in real life in most of the instances. And what we also realize even now with quality, we're actually going to an age where quality actually matters less and less. More and more people, the reason they're switching to YouTube is that they want more realness. They want more authenticity. And the more of that you can provide to people, so even sometimes there's a lot of successful people now, even filming, let's say, with just iPhones or just small candy cameras. But that's just on quality. But the point that I really want to make is you don't want things and videos to be overproduced,
mm-hmm.
and overscripted and all that stuff. And then I'll touch on other points. The second point is, so Q is the first one. Second one is value. And this is really important. Something that I think we really touched upon is we never focus on selling.
It might
sound like crazy. Yeah, you guys still want to make money. We do. I'm not saying we don't want to make money. But we understand that the whole intention of our videos and the content that we provide, our videos are not there to make money. Our videos are there to provide value to people. And like I said, if you provide value to people, then it will translate into money. That's just how we see it. The more value you provide to people, the more money you make. That's just in our world, from our viewpoint. So we always focus, how can we make these videos better for people? What can we teach them? How can we educate them? Or any of those. So value, and always be, and we always think how we can provide more value to people. Now, so that's Q.
In every video, did you attempt to teach at least one new thing?
Of course.
Yeah, every video is a new hairstyle, hair technique. You know, I look at the energy I bring as well as value. You know, I'm always bringing the best of myself. So I'm smiling. I'm trying to give off good vibes. And, you know, it takes energy to give that kind of presence on camera. I'm sure you film videos as well. So, you know what it takes sometimes. It doesn't always work with the first try. So it's a lot of energy that you're giving off, but that's also part of the value.
Yeah, but like you said, values, you can be entertaining to people. So comedy does really well, or say gaming on YouTube is huge where people just, they show how they play the game well, or let's say it's somebody showing how to clean their room and they're really good at it, but they're showing value.
Yeah, you can provide value in many different ways, whether it's insights, knowledge, you know, tutorials on how to do something or
just pass the time, be entertaining for them
or entertainment.
So that's quality, value. So QVC, It's consistency.
Yeah, the last two points are even more important than the first two points.
Yeah, because you can have the quality, you can be doing great value, but if you're not doing the last two points, mm-hmm. you're really going to fail. So the last two points, or the third one, is C for consistency. What we did really well, what many YouTubers or podcasters or bloggers, what they all do well, they're very consistent. Meaning, they put out their videos every week, sometimes twice a week. You don't want to overdo it by posting too many, but you want to be consistent in your content.
Not more than twice a week.
Yeah, not more than twice a week. And then
That's good advice, actually.
Yeah.
And then
some people just do overkill and they post every day, but that's too much. Like, people can't keep up with that. And posting once a month is not enough. So we found that once a week or twice a week is the ideal formula.
And the thing is, we have to understand is that, you know, we have to use the resources and leverage that other media conglomerates have provided for us. So, you know, media has spent trillions of dollars probably training people to look out for their shows for consistency. Meaning, we all knew when The Simpsons were on when we're growing up because, well, you know, it's Sunday, whatever time, and Simpsons are going to be on. So you want to create the same kind of consistency for your viewers. So, for example, if you create videos every Monday and you let them know at the end of it, let's say your video or your podcast, hey, catch you guys next Monday, another show coming to you. In their brain, you're creating that connection and link that, hey, because people want certainty. They really like that. They know that next week Mimi's going to be there to smile for them and show them something new. They like, people love that certainty, and that's why they'll be more willing to subscribe to the channel. What channel will you be more likely to subscribe? The one where, let's say, it's a great quality video, it gives you great value. You check it out, but you see that the last time she posted a video was 6 months ago, you're not going to be so willing to subscribe. But if you see that Mimi posts videos every week,
consistency builds trust with your audience.
Exactly,
and I think that's why it's so important.
And another thing, consistency, which really worked for us for our business for Luxury Hair, was in other products, is that it's also consistency of content. Meaning, Luxury Hair was about hair, and our business was about hair. We didn't do cat videos,
makeup
videos. We stayed really consistent, and we're one of the first channels on YouTube that just focused on hair. Let's say in the beauty space, because in the beauty space they were doing all sorts of things, hauls, follow me around videos, all these sorts of videos. But we decided from the beginning, this channel is just about hair, and that's what it's about. So people come here and they know there's going to be a hair tutorial. Now Mimi has a lifestyle channel, so if they want to follow her for more lifestyle and fashion and those, she has a different channel for that.
Yeah.
But for hair, this is the channel to go to. So consistency is very important.
Consistency in the content.
Consistency of content, consistency of the videos we put out, the podcasts you put out. So your listeners and viewers, they'll know that, hey, James is going to create another podcast episode. I'm subscribing because I can't wait for another show. So that's QVC, right? Quality, value, consistency. The last point, which is, I think, the most important, actually, and this is why I believe, you know, Mimi did well, or James, you really do well with across all your platforms, is authenticity. Because at the end of the day, as people, we're sick and tired of fake people on television, like talking heads, talking nonsense to us and not being real. They don't care about us, right? As people, the reason people are flocking to YouTube or all these other alternatives of media and consuming it, we want to connect with real human beings just like ourselves. We want to hear real stories and from real people who are genuine and authentic. People that win are genuine and authentic. And this is a very important point that I've seen across many platforms. I'm not saying that, yes, there are people who are not genuine and authentic that win, but mostly the people that really grow are the ones who are authentic and genuine. So a great point to that, just what we realized, at some point we're trying to be perfect. We're actually trying to make our videos more professional, and Mimi was trying to make less mistakes, and we would edit all the bloopers out. And people said it's losing that touch. So we realized it's not about being perfect. It's okay to make mistakes. It's okay to leave in the bloopers. It's okay to say something.
It's not only okay, you have to.
It's
funny you say that, because I realized that in my podcast. I think my podcast got a lot better. In our podcast, Claudia's and my podcast got a lot better when we were just having regular conversations as opposed to, you know, like, you know, how, I think it just evolved to be more authentic as we learned how to communicate on this medium.
And also to relax. Because it takes a while to find your voice while you're being watched.
Right.
That's very true. And it can be very intimidating. To this day, it is, I think, for me, anytime I film, you know, it takes a bit of courage, or sometimes a lot of courage, to bring that authenticity and allow for others to see the real you.
Yeah, but you're wonderful, Mimi.
So, thank you,
Claudia.
So this QVCA, and then that would attract more and more people to the videos. And then always underneath, there's a link, you know, buy Luxy, or, you know, just a link to the site.
To the site. There's no buy.
There's
a link to the
website.
Sometimes it would be even hidden after the fold. So, meaning it would be description of the video, and it'll be underneath, it'll be like, here's the thing. So it's like everything that people tell you not to do, we do it.
Yeah. And it works.
And it works because a lot of people don't, like, to this day, they're like, what do you do? Like, for, like, what's your career? They still don't get it. So, you know, it works.
So it works because they're watching the videos and they say, boy, I'd really like to have my hair look like that. And,
exactly.
Oh, here's a link to it I just happened to see. And they click on it, and some percentage of the viewers would buy.
Yeah. They hear the name, and then they just Google it. I mean, Luxy Hair is a very simple name. And, you know, as long as I mention it in the video, and I provide people with the information and then the content, if they're interested in buying the product, they will find a way to get it.
But I think the most important, the greatest example of this that I can tell you, and a friend of mine shared this with me, I think last year, and this is exactly what we do, I think, many successful businesses do. So, James and Claudia, you guys, have you guys ever played Mario, the game?
One time, maybe.
Yeah, like older versions, like Donkey Kong.
Exactly. So, like, but you remember, like, Mario, that guy, Super Nintendo or Nintendo, you play, he goes and he goes into tubes and grows bigger. So, there's Mario and then there's Super Mario, right?
Yeah.
But, yeah, so do you guys remember at all how Mario becomes Super Mario?
No,
I don't.
Yeah, some people might know. So Mario becomes Super Mario if he's like a mushroom or a star in the game, and he gets bigger and he has all these superpowers and he starts throwing fireballs at people and you're so much faster. And that's what he becomes by, let's say, eating a star or this mushroom. But this is exactly how most businesses are. A lot of businesses, they think they have to focus on selling a product and selling the features of their product and how good it is and what it will do and whatever. But the reality is nobody cares about the product. Everybody wants to become Super Mario. So what we do really, we show people, and that's why we say the background is important, the lifestyle you create is important, the imagery is important, the quality of your videos are also important, the bed you have in the background is important, how you present yourself is important. Because all that, you're selling all those little touch points, you're selling the overall lifestyle.
Right.
And when they see Mimi, they're like, hey, I want to be like Mimi. This girl seems really cool. She seems like a person that I want to be like. And then they say, because as people, we start breaking things down. We say, what does she have? They'll say that I don't have. And then one of those things might be hair extensions. One of those things might be, something else. But we always try to break it down because as humans, we always want to evolve and try to get better. So that's one of the things. So as businesses, when we create that vision or that, let's say, that brand of ourselves that people want to become, your products will sell automatically because that's why we're actually very careful with Mimi, who she features or who she sponsors, because we know that those things will sell.
I never sponsor him.
That's one of the things. We actually don't do any sponsored videos.
Yeah.
So if people want to approach Mimi, unless she genuinely likes the product, she's not going to.
Which so far they haven't been many brands that, you know, or any brands. Like, I've featured brands, but they haven't paid me anything for it. It's all genuine.
Because a lot of people.
No, that's great, because I think if you just focused on your own brands, then you have that inauthenticity again.
Exactly.
You know, you need that because obviously you wear other clothes and other brands, so it's nice to. You and I notice you always point out, like, what the other brands are you're wearing. So people just assume Luxy Hair is in the mix.
Exactly.
So it seems like along with QVCA, there's this one other aspect, which is, you know,
the benefit, the lifestyle.
Well, no, that I guess that's part of the A, but there's the fact that you then spread the brand onto all these other media like Yahoo Answers or wherever else you direct people back to YouTube.
That was at the beginning.
Yeah, we have done that for years. But yeah. Yes, there's Instagram, there's Facebook, there's Pinterest, and YouTube.
But YouTube is definitely our main focus,
and then Instagram.
Okay, so YouTube and Instagram are your main focus?
Because we have a very visual product, so for us, that's what works the best.
Do you think Pinterest will succeed?
I definitely think it already is succeeding in terms of for anything that's visual and creative. Personally, when I'm looking for pictures of outfits or, you know, sometimes if I'm looking for recipes, instead of Googling, I go on Pinterest and I Pinterest the recipe because they have way better imagery. So a lot of times now Pinterest is being used instead of Google. So in terms of that, I think it's a great tool that can be utilized for any business. Yes.
Pinterest is the next, it is the current image search. So meaning that's what Google is losing, and we definitely believe in the strength of Pinterest. We actually underutilize it. We don't use its power as much as we do, and it's something that we talk about. So it's a great tool. And there's many businesses that are made just off Pinterest.
What about other video channels like Vine or Periscope or things like that?
Personally, I just started using Snapchat, and I think Snapchat is quite powerful, and it's what all the 13, 14-year-olds use nowadays. I think it's quite fun, and it can be also used in terms of just creating a better brand for yourself. Periscope, I did hear about it. I haven't used it.
I think of all of these tools, and it's something that we've touched upon also when I talked about quality and authenticity. Tools like, let's say, Periscope, and not Vine as much, but especially Periscope, which is a kind of a live streaming tool like Meerkat or Periscope. I've actually talked to Mimi about it too. Is that anything, or like Snapchat, any tool that you can use where you can show more of your realness, your authenticity, and take people on your everyday journey is a win.
Because you are providing value again.
Yeah, because you're providing value again, and people are able to connect with you on a different level. Because we live, yes, we do, and we partly do that. So Mimi will say, and us, our videos are still pretty well produced. Mimi puts a lot of thought in her Instagram pictures, but people still love to see that. For example, Mimi started vlogging recently, where it's just kind of
it's a lot more real and raw. And I just use a small, you know, camera to film with. It's not like a big DSLR camera. And it's a big step because you're downgrading the quality still a little bit. But I find that people can connect with that a lot more. So
well,
again, going
I
back
like
to
that. I like those videos because for me, I'm not your female audience. I'm a male audience, and it gives men a chance to kind of get used to your brand, and maybe I'll show them to my daughters and so on. So it's
exactly.
A good extension of the brand. But okay, so now you're in year three of essentially making over $1 million a year in profits. How's your lifestyle changed?
Oh, this is actually this is a great question.
I think you'll like
it. Yeah. So remember our whole thing of like wanting to live the 4-hour work week, and we think that's going to be like the greatest thing ever for us. And it's like, yeah, it's the greatest thing since sliced bread, right? The 4-hour work week. And like, I also, we know Tim, and he's a great guy, and the 4-hour work week is a great book. But what we realized was, and I think like so many people realize, we come from a background where we didn't have a lot of money. We don't come from wealthy families.
For us, money was always something we wanted to attain because as through media, it is portrayed to be the thing that, you know, once you have it, you have the cars, all the material goods, you can travel and do whatever you want. Then you will be happy.
And what we quickly learned, and Mimi actually, as soon as we're in France in September after 3 months, it hit Mimi right away.
Yeah, like I got extremely depressed and anxious, and I just kind of lost all colors. I just didn't know why I should even keep going, you know, like it was really bad.
Yeah, for me, I honestly wasn't understanding. I'm like, Mimi, what's going on? We're you know, we're young, we're in south of France, we're living a life. We're on the beach, we have time, and we're getting money. It's amazing. So for me, it took me personally about 2 years to hit rock bottom where I bought my dream car and we had 7 figures in the bank, which I've dreamed of. And, you know, once I hit that and it was my birthday, I was like, what's the point of it all? You know, is this it? Is my point just to consume and make money and to live my life like this? That's pretty like, it's not.
Because we were like once we, you know, after a few months, we were able to get to a point where we didn't work a lot, to be honest. You know, we worked more than 4 hours, of course, but it never really felt like work anyways. It all felt like we're always traveling when we're working. And, you know, you feel a bit isolated just working with a computer.
Yeah, and it's isolated. And plus, you know, when you start, you don't have a routine. You don't have a proper routine. So we go, you know, you can wake up whenever you want and you can travel wherever you want. But most people don't live like this. So at least we still had each other. But it was, it still felt very, and people listening might be thinking, oh, boo-hoo, like you guys reached success. But I think the importance of seeing what we found was, as soon as that happened, especially because Mimi experienced it for several years and we still kept going, for me, then it hit me, like I said, until 2 years and I bought my dream car and had reached certain my goals. But what we realized was, you know, it's really not about money. And it's money will definitely not make you happy. Because what we then asked ourselves a very important question. And the question was, you know, we haven't been happy for some time, even though we're living this dream life, and everyone from the side, from our friends and family, and from social media people, they might think like we're so spoiled and we have the greatest life, and we're so lucky, whatever it is. But we weren't. We didn't feel that way. And we asked ourselves a question, which was, when was the last time we were genuinely happy? You know, genuinely excited for living in life.
Yeah, waking up with a smile on your face, and you know, feeling like you want to live.
And
for both of us, it was the time when we were hustling, when we were struggling, when we had no money, actually, and when we just had dreams and goals that we were working towards, not 4 hours a week, but many, many hours in a day. And we just realized that we need to go back to, you know,
work.
Work. Well, we were, again, like, and to this day, you know, it's I feel very grateful because everything we do, we get to ultimately choose. And it feels amazing because, you know, we become actually the opposite. We're workaholics where we work too much, personally, speaking of myself.
But you don't have to feel guilty about making money.
Yes, you don't, because you really love what you're doing. So again, at that time, you know, 2.5 years ago, we just realized that, first of all, we need to have a more structured routine. We need to get an office. We need to get all of our people that were working for us remotely to be in the office presently, because it's important to be around people and have some kind of a culture. And
also to go to sleep early, get more sleep, rest. Because we would go to sleep at 3, 4 a.m. And
editing videos and doing all kinds of creative stuff.
And so we've actually, when we went from, you know, being against 9 to 5, and we realized how important, actually, as dreadfully as it sounds, routine is for human beings. We're we're still creatures of habit. And what we realized, it's very important to create these habits and rituals in your life, which can be really healthy. So it means working out certain times of the day, going to sleep at certain times of the day, introducing meditation into your life, something that Mimi has really helped Mimi into her life. So Mimi has been to Vipassana retreats.
Several times, though, and I think that's one of the main things that helped to get me through all the dark times of my life. Because it helps you as an entrepreneur and as a creative person in general, and as any human being, to be honest. You know, our minds are very, very active, especially in the times that we live with the phones and the computers and the iPads. There's just too much stimulation. Meditation provides for that space where you can learn to focus your mind. And yeah, like at the time, 2.5 years ago, when we were deciding to, you know, completely change our lifestyle again and get an office, you know, I went to this crazy 10-day silent meditation retreat.
Which location did you go? I've been to.
It's the one in Canada. It's just outside of Toronto. Just maybe an hour away.
Okay.
But they have centers all around the world.
Yeah,
and
they're free. They're free. So you live like a monk. You don't pay or anything. For 10 days, you only meditate, sleep, eat, and meditate. That's it.
Have you done it, Claudia?
Yes, I've done it.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, so I mean, the first time I went, I actually ran away. But that was before we started the business. I ran away on day 3.
Oh,
then,
you're the one.
Know.
You're the one.
And then I went back and I did it twice.
I didn't run away, but I did cheat a lot. Like in my room, I couldn't take 10 hours of silence a day. Like in my room, I watched some TV shows. But I have to tell you guys, your story is incredibly inspiring. I've never seen James not interrupt as my shops. I wonder if he has a pulse or what's going on.
No, no, I think this is really valuable for anybody to hear. Like, this is the way to build a business in the modern day and age. Like, it's not about your sales pitch, it's about the value you offer. And I think that's, and the authenticity you offer. And people want that authenticity in their lives. Like, ultimately, we're the sum of our experiences. We're not the sum of our material goods. And I think when you show that, that's how you, you know, create value.
Yeah.
Exactly. Because one thing we also, like, going back to the four-hour work week quickly, because Tim actually talks about it, and but we as people, you know, we always want to, like, I want the end result. I want the four-hour work week. There's an important chapter in the book that we miss ourselves, and that chapter was chapter 15, I believe, filling the void. So what happens after you actually achieve your dreams or your goals, or you actually have your working 4 hours a week? What happens then? Well, all the anxiety creeps in, all the existential crisis in your life creeps in, because you understand that there's more to life than just making money. There's more to life than just going on vacations and drinking margaritas or doing whatever you want to do. There's more to that. So as it's Maslow's hierarchy of needs, and that's where you really start seeing, what can I give to the world? Where it becomes not about you, but what can you deliver? What kind of value, even more value, you can deliver to the world? And that's where you get more fulfillment.
What's the next step for you guys? What's next?
We're working on a very exciting project here in Europe. It's to do with one of my biggest passions, which is fashion. But I can't say anymore, because I'm one of those people that, you know, believes in talking less and doing more. So until it's ready to be launched, I feel like it's important to be quiet about it.
We had a conversation a lot about how you can't really, if you talk about your ideas, then you release the energy of the idea too early into the world.
Yeah, it's like having a baby. You need to keep those first couple of months secret so that the baby can really develop. That's how I feel it from the
That's a great metaphor.
That's a great metaphor. But it's definitely more towards, even with, let's say with Lexi here, it's not like that business didn't have a purpose at all. We actually started seeing, how can we deliver more value and create more purpose for that business as well? So it means reshifting gear. So we're doing that in business as well, but also in new businesses and all businesses that we mm-hmm. create now. Let's say 5 Minute Journal was another business that we created, was part of that. It was like, how there was something that we wanted to create in our lives that would make us better as people and make us feel good on an everyday basis. So that was a project, that was a side project that we did with my friend UJ Ramdas, where we created a journal to help people be happier through everyday journaling technique, right? And that was one of those businesses. It was a business not to create money once again.
It
was a passion project. Hey, I really want this product in my own life. And if I can help other people live better lives, then why not? Because I think more and more businesses, if you as a business or if you as a person, the most important thing you have to think about, and this is, I think I've talked about this before in some of my videos, that, you know, all people is ask, how do I make money? But the thing is, when you focus on making money, you actually don't make it. You have to focus as an individual, as a person, or how can I create value for other people? And how can I do that? And as the moment you shift your mind from just selfishly trying to make money for yourself, mm-hmm. and you shift your mind to how can I create value for other people, that's when you actually make money. So it's the reality. And I wish I knew about it earlier.
We totally agree with that. I think that's something, you know, many business people realize along their path, and mm-hmm. that's the real secret. And it's amazing how well that secret works to bring success in all forms into your life. I just want to say, you guys, it's been really great having you on. I think this has been an incredibly valuable lesson to the listeners.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, James and Claudia. It was a pleasure.
Yes.
Okay.
Talk to you soon.
Now that's what we call done. Visit StansberryRadioChooseYourself.com to download our free report called The Choose Yourself Stories, and check back daily for more Ask Altucher.
Hold up.
Save big money on everything for your projects. Now at Menards. We have it all for garden and landscaping essentials. Visit our outdoor garden center today and update your backyard space. Grid Accents lattice panels have a timeless design with an innovative design that's simple to install and requires almost no maintenance. Save big on lattice panel options at Menards. View our entire selection of garden center products today on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.